Snarling wordlessly, William cocked back the hammer and tightened his grip on the trigger, conflicting emotions storming across his handsome features. Then, with a sigh, his broad shoulders slumped, and he holstered the blaster.
I gave my word, and a soldier keeps his word, especially to himself.
To himself, most of all.
The left pocket of the Baron's suit violently exploded, the heavy slug from the concealed blaster taking his grandson in the chest. Stumbling backward, the young man hit a tree, a look of shock contorting his flawless face.
Please!
He held up a hand for protection while pressing a palm against the wet hole in his chest. Icy fire filled his limbs, and a great wave of weakness stole his strength. It was quickly becoming impossible to breathe.
Grandfather!
Drawing the .22 caliber revolver from his smoking pocket, the Baron aimed and shot the dying man again in the knees, the groin, then the gut, trying to make the pain as great as possible. Burbling blood filling his mouth, William fell to the ground, a fumbling hand clawing at his own weapon. The Baron kicked the hand away and placed the hot barrel to the temple of his dying grandson.
You didn't remember. But I told you 10 years ago that if you ever pointed a blaster at me again, you had damn well better use it, or I would use mine. Forgot, didn't you? That's a bad habit for a would-be baron.
William spat blood at the old man, hitting his cheek. The Baron laughed and fired into the man's temple, exploding his head like a crushed egg.
Forgetting a threat is almost as bad as forgiving an enemy. We rule by strength, not honor.
The Baron chortled through his nose, wiping the rivulet of snot on an encrusted sleeve. He repeated the phrase in a sing-song voice, dancing a little step.
Forget, forgive, forget, forgive. Both of those won't let you live.
Suddenly, Sekhmen in liveried uniforms rushed from the bushes with a wide assortment of blasters in their hands. The officers held M16s, the sergeants bolt-action long blasters, and the privates all carried shotguns. There were no homemades. This was the Baron's private guard, and they used only the very best his ville owned. A burly sergeant walked closer.
Are you okay, my lord?
Fine, fine.
The Baron holstered his weapon, then quickly drew the piece to reload. Spent shells were suicide in Deathlands. John Henderson knew he was slightly insane, but he refused to become stupid.
My grandson and I had a discussion over whom should be the Baron. I was asked to go into the bushes and retire myself. I told the boy no, and he accepted it with grace, dignity, and honor.
Closing the blaster, Henderson tucked it inside his undamaged pocket. He turned on a sec man.
You! Get me another suit!
Yes, my lord!
The private saluted and dashed away. The rest of the troops stood where they were, waiting for orders from their baron. He reeked like a used lav, and often chilled without reason, but aside from this one time, he had never lost a battle. The sec man had discussed the matter in detail days earlier, and rather than become cold hearts and attack farms, they would stay with the madman and see if he could get them another vill. Henderson saw the decision in their faces and approved.
By the way, did my grandson actually set loose the whore the guard was humping in the woods while my vill was being destroyed? He didn't really do that, did he?
Averting their faces, the officers and privates mumbled assorted things under their breaths. Only a huge sec man spoke out loud and clear.
Why, yes, sir, he did. Never could figure out why, but it's not my place to question a superior.
The Baron squinted up at the giant.
Sergeant, aren't you?
Sergeant Thomas Smith, my lord.
So tell me, Thomas, exactly how many other officers survived the attack? I only had 20 men with me when I went hunting that day.
Smith didn't correct the Baron about being an officer.
Another 5 officers, my lord, and 50 more men were out fishing or on patrol in the woods.
70 troops, 6 officers. My grandson was my sec chief, and he turned traitor. I need a new commander of the troops. Okay, big boy, now you're it.
Sir?
The sergeant looked stunned. The Baron stared hard, resting a hand on his blaster.
Don't make me think this is a mistake. Can't run a war by myself. Plus, I need an heir to carry on the Henderson name. My grandson committed suicide by challenging me. I'm offering the post to you, heir to the throne of, well, whateverville we take over next. Yes or no?
The sergeant quickly knelt before the Baron.
Yes, father.
The Baron chuckled softly. Even down on one knee, the bastard slab of beef was still taller than him. The freak had to be 7 feet high. In a battle, everybody would ignore the old man and concentrate on the giant. He was perfect cannon fodder. Yet there were more than muscles stuffed between his lumpy ears. He had answered without question or pause. With an elaborate flourish, Baron Henderson reached out and touched the man on each shoulder with his warm blaster.
Then rise, General Thomas Henderson, heir to the Iron Throne. What is your first command?
The new general pointed at a private.
You! Move my things to the dead man's tent. Get me his wag and bring me his hand cannon and belt holster.
Sure thing, Sarge.
Thomas backhanded the guard, sending him sprawling. Then he spoke softly, almost too low for the others to hear. They had to lean in and strain to catch the words.
I'm your commander. Obey me or die. Your choice.
Yes, sir.
Raggedly, the troops raised a cheer for their new commander, the officers saluting the preening Goliath. Delighted, Baron Henderson smiled craftily at the young fool. That whispering trick was good. He'd have to use that himself. Without his grandson to direct a battle, he would have been forced to lead any charge himself. Now this huge idiot would do that for him.
What are your orders, father?
Henderson took another pinch of snuff with a shaking hand. He spilled most on his shirt, but enough of it got up his nose to stop the trembling.
We have gathered everything salvageable from the wreckage. Now we go west. Raid a few hamlets along the way for food, horses, anything else that we lack. Then, when we are ready, we strike at the enemy who did this to us. Nathan Cotter of Front Royal.
Cotter? Pardon me, my lord, but how you know he did it?
There were only 3 villes of any size in Virginia. Bull Run, Casanova, and Front Royal. 2 have been destroyed. That leaves Cotter and his brown shirts.
The troops murmured in agreement. They were more looking forward to raiding helpless farms than striking at the armed citadel of Front Royal. Muties or Coldhearts, few who ever attacked the ville escaped alive. Maybe this melting thing was the reason why.
And how, sir, can we stop a web that fries stone?
Never question your baron.
Thomas turned to the baron.
Do you wish to tell us your plan, father?
The private returned with a fresh suit, and the baron started to change. He removed his jacket. His bare arms were as skinny as sticks, discolored with splotches and bruises.
Not at the moment, but it cannot fail. Tomorrow, Front Royal falls, and we shall rule the entire state, from the Atlantic to the Shens.
Led by their new commander, the Sekmen wildly cheered, and Henderson tried not to laugh at them. They would all die in the attack on Front Royal. That was the key past the stone walls. But they would gain entrance, and soon afterward, the weapon that destroyed Casanovaville would be his to unleash upon the rest of Deathlands. Not to rule the groveling masses, but purely for the sake of retribution for being born into this horrid world. When he died, so would the rest of humankind. And the sooner, the better. Dawn was just starting to break when a blue shirt hesitantly opened the door of the armory and glanced outside.
Rain's over.
Baron Sheffield and the rest of the bodyguards exited the brick building, careful of stepping into any of the steaming yellow puddles. The landscape was like nothing any of them had ever seen. Everything was coated with a hardened layer of condensed ash. The ground was covered with gentle ripples, as if somebody had tossed a stone into a lake of lava, which instantly cooled back into rock. Sheffield noted the piece of somebody partially buried in the weird stone carpeting.
See who's still alive. Help anybody trapped. Then get the slaves busy chipping this crap off the wags in the gate. Don't touch the gap in the wall. This can only help strengthen our defenses there.
The man saluted and dashed away. Colette hooked her thumbs into her gun belt.
Nothing will grow in this valley again. We have to move the base.
A sec